Yeah, so this is for the police and actually for every other public servant in my life who failed to investigate either grievances or criminal complaints that I made. The simple fact is that people like me are the only people who have been on your behalf investigating the crimes being committed against you and the crimes that are intended to be committed against you. And you failed me miserably, and you think you're smug and complacent and empowered and you don't have to investigate anything ever. And you can just totally dismiss any sense of justice. Yeah? Well, meanwhile, people like me have been fighting to investigate and expose the crimes that have been committed against you, are being committed against you, and will be committed against you. So I guess that's the only sort of justice I'm going to get, the only sort of revenge, is that the people who totally let me down throughout my life and totally ignored me are going to pay the price, because the same people like themselves who won't investigate and will not seek justice for victims of crimes and other sort of injustices, the same people in the government who fail to seek justice for the victims of themselves and their colleagues are going to be let down by the same people in government who have failed to investigate viruses and failed to investigate the World Trade Center, failed to investigate every real conspiracy. Yeah, a failed to investigate. Yeah, so I guess they're going to become the victims of injustice because they've been the perpetrators of injustice. And I guess that's the only justice I can hope for on this planet. So, yeah. But like you see, how you get rewarded on this planet, I'm not complaining. I took responsibility. There's no philosopher in history who benefited from being a philosopher. They all suffered. Some of them, like David Hume, managed to be successful and become rich even. And they had the sense not to publish some of their most important works until after their death, to have somebody else do it posthumously. So David Hume was, I guess, the exception among all the philosophers in history. He lived a long life and got to enjoy himself, and still he had the last laugh in having his most important works against religion, for example, published posthumously when they couldn't hurt him anymore. Yeah? So, yeah, kudos to David Hume. Unfortunately, I don't have a talent for writing a history of the English-speaking peoples. I didn't have any success in any other area of my life. So, yeah. But I'm not complaining. This is the choices I made to end up in this situation. And I did deliberately push the world. I pushed people because I had to find out for sure. I'm conscientious. I cannot make assumptions about people. I can't judge people in advance. I have to give them the chance to do their worst over and over and over again. And I have to keep giving them chances to do something good. And occasionally some people are nice, but there's no real follow-through. There's no real will. But, yeah, people have done nice things for me. Ironically, the nicest people in the whole world to me were the Russians in Moscow. Yeah, and some of the most evil people in the world to me are the ethnic Russians in Estonia. And I kept looking at them and talking to them and saying, you're so proud of being Russian, but you have no idea what Russians are like in Moscow, you know? Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to... You've got no idea how much I've collected from the garbage. Perfectly good everything that you can think of. I've had every sort of food you can imagine, almost every sort of electrical appliance, every sort of clothing has come through my hands and been passed on to other people, cosmetics even. And the convent has got so many almost new shoes and clothing that I carried around town and then carried to the convent, washed by hand and dried, and then carried to the convent, you know. So So my time hasn't been wasted. I've managed to salvage a lot of good stuff and recycle it, and hopefully people benefited from my efforts. And I improved this slum hostel significantly. And I think they learned something from me. And it's ironically that even though the administrator, who's a young Ukrainian woman, thinks I'm being punished, I actually asked him to move me to the old shower stalls. Yeah, because I couldn't sleep because of all the snoring and all the stupidity. But yeah, she said, if I understood correctly, I have to leave before before the end of January. And, you know, I don't know. I didn't know they didn't, you know, want me here. But, well, you know, that could be... If there's no electricity in that shower stall, that's the problem, see? So I think it's they worked that out, that there's no electricity in there. They can put me in there, and I won't be able to do anything, and I'll have to leave anyway. But, yeah, if you know you're going to have to leave by the end of January, then, you know, that's no time at all. So it just means I've got to get rid of all the stuff I can't carry again. I don't want to waste it. That was the whole point in salvaging it, recycling it. So I'll be carrying bags and bags and bags of stuff to the convent and to one security guard in town who's always lifted my mood up when I talk to him. And yeah, I'll basically just finish off all the food that I collected. I've got like a month's supply of emergency food, like camping food, real expensive camping food that's just expired, you know, best use by date. I've got like a month's supply of that, so I'm going to try to eat all the food I've got, and I bought 5 kilograms of 1 euro 500 gram ground coffee. You know, it was so cheap. It's drinkable, not good, but drinkable, and for 1 euro for 500 grams. So I knew when I bought 5 kilograms of it that it was bad. It was, what's the word, touching wood, it's, that I was jinxing myself. Yeah, I even joked with people that, yeah, I shouldn't have bought the 5 kilos of coffee because it's almost guarantees I'm going to be kicked out and I'll have to give it away anyway, you know, because I won't be able to carry 5 kilograms of coffee around with me. So, yeah, like I've got, you know, the other night they came in at 10 o'clock and got me to clear up, you know, broken water pipes and a room full of water using my own mop, you know, my own mop, because they don't have real mops here. I kept trying to tell them anyway. But... yeah, I don't know. It's tragic. All she talked about was money, money, money. You know, she's building more slum hostels and she wants to make more money. And she doesn't give a shit that she's, you know, making a white Germanic European male homeless to favor some piece of shit, you know, just to get a few euros from him. And he wouldn't have left anyway because he's just staying in the cheapest room in the cheapest place in Tallinn, which is where I am. And where that's how they rewarded me for really hard work. And if I ever describe all the work I've done here, I think you'll be shocked. I'm shocked too that I did it, but I'm German. We have a work ethic. We don't complain when we have work to do. We do the work and get the job done and then try to make things as good as possible. That's the history of German peoples, wherever they've been around the world. That's a reputation. And I've lived true to that. Nobody's coached me. Nobody's told me what to do. But it's natural for me to have initiative and be conscientious and to make the best of wherever I am, to bring order from chaos, to make things better, you know, to leave the place that I arrive at better than when I arrived there. And people usually admit to me years later that that's the case, even though at the time they totally fucked me around. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Well, what am I saying? I don't know what the point is. But it did give me a breathing space, you know. It gave me some time because I was totally adrift, you know. And it gave me some sort of purpose every day, have some work to do, something productive to do to, you know, recycle all the things I found, collecting cans and bottles for a bit of money too, get me walking around town and seeing parts of town. I got the bus pass, so I'm using the buses a bit now too. And, you know, and I got to pay back the nuns for the help they gave me, you know. So, yeah, well, they treated me like I was a criminal because I wanted to eat some of the food. Yeah, because I hadn't eaten proper food for so long. They expected me to live on rice and a few vegetables when they were giving out cakes and yogurts and everything to the homeless people. And most of the people who turned up I saw on the street I knew them because I was homeless too, and I know what they do. The reason they turn up for free feed is so they can spend the money on alcohol and tobacco. You know, so I got punished and they get rewarded for bad behavior. So, and because I wasn't Catholic, so, you know, I've been tempted to go back and ask them. I know there's no people there. They told me the reason I had to leave because they had a winter hostel for men, but there's no men ever turned up there. That was a lie. You know, Catholic nuns lying to me. So, you know, I was tempted to go and ask them if I can go back there, but, you know, I think I have a bit too much self-pride to do that and have them lie to me again. Anyway, 10 minutes over, ciao for now.